This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, we were talking about that ESPN article, and we talked a lot about Minkah Fitzpatrick and Deontay Johnson with their contract situation. But there's a number of other key players around the league who are looking for new deals, including some that will involve some AFC North teams. We mentioned
that
Jesse Bates is Jesse Bates is going to be an interesting one to watch for the Bengals, because, you know, everybody talks about, well, the Bengals are, you know, they're loaded, they get everybody back. If Jesse Bates decides to hold out and start skipping games and things of that nature, that's a big blow for that Bengals team. He's their best defensive player.
Clearly their best defensive player. And I wonder if they see the writing on the wall that, you know, we're not going to give him the money he thinks. So we're going to draft a bunch of safeties and defensive backs. You know, usually they draft corners really high, not safeties. Every team is going to value, well, this is true for every position, but every team's going to value the value of the safety position different. You know, maybe they look at safeties and think, they're somewhat interchangeable. I'd rather spend my money on corners and edge pass rushers and stuff around Burrow. So, sorry, Jesse, but as good as you were not going to pay it.
Yeah, one of the other key ones to watch this year, and this in the next couple of months here, is what happens with Lamar Jackson.
This one's strange.
Yeah, I mean, there were people, I know for a fact that the Ravens were not happy with the Browns for the Deshaun Watson contract.
Least happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were the team that was probably the most affected by it, because they have to pay Lamar Jackson. If you look at Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson's career paths, they're very similar.
One is MVP and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, Lamar has an MVP award, but Watson's been in that kind of conversation every year. The team just
wasn't the same tier since.
The team just wasn't quite as successful around him. You know, Jackson is 37-12 as a starter in his career, and he should, you know, any contract negotiations for him should start at around that 5-year, $230 million contract that the Browns gave Watson.
A lot of angles here. Is first of all, I think it's probably starting with Baltimore, but this might be true in Denver for Russell Wilson or whatever. Kyler Murray's contract is looming as well. I'm sure all those agents are going to say, well, the new standard is Deshaun Watson. That's what we want.
We want a fully guaranteed. We want
5% more, or right in that neighborhood. When we sit down at the table, that's where we're starting there, owners. And I wonder, not that this is collusion, but are 31 other owners going to say, that ain't cool? You know, this is the Jamal Adams outlier contract. Sorry.
Yeah, just because they did that doesn't mean we're going to do that.
It's not the new standard in the league just because one team went rogue and bought an asset, you know, kind of like college football does now. You know, like.
But do you then have to, instead of it being a 5-year, $230 million deal that's fully guaranteed, do you have to go 5 years, $250 million guaranteed, with, say, half of it guaranteed or whatever, you know?
I think that's the ripple effect then, you know? No matter what, it hurts the Ravens, Broncos, Cardinals, whoever.
Because I mean, it's a good problem to have, because you presumably have a franchise quarterback.
Of course.
If Lamar is viewed that way.
See, that's what's different about him to me when you compare him to Watson, Allen, Mahomes. I'm thinking about similar age guys that have made big money. And
who are all better passers than him.
Because there's two things working against Lamar, and to your point, is one, he represents himself, which can't make any of this easy. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, and you're saving an extra 1% or something, you know, like, I'm sure that makes him very hard to deal with. And he's such a unique player, to your point, that I would much rather give him big money on a 3-year deal. You know, like, if he's running a 4-6-5 2-3 years from now, he ain't the same, you know, and I think he's a better passer than given credit for. But when Josh Allen's feet fail him, he's not going to crumble like Cam Newton did, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And one of the problems with representing yourself, not only is it a time factor, because you don't have the time to do that and also be the quarterback, you know, franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. But the other factor is to what you just said. How do the Ravens say, hey Lamar, you know,
you're not as good as Josh.
We think you might be slowing down, or we think there's a possibility that you could slow down, or you're not as good as this guy. Right. Is that what the player wants to hear? Because that stuff is said to agents.
Yeah, they're not kind.
And they don't share that with the player necessarily.
The buffer.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you don't want to have to sit there. I did a thing with Sean.
Long.
Yeah. I did a thing with Sean Casey, the great Pittsburgh sports debate, a couple of weeks ago. And he talked about that, you know, going into a contract negotiation, they had, you know, arbitration in baseball. And
I bet it's nasty.
The team sits there and talks about all the things that you can't do well, while your agent sits there and says all the things that you do well.
It's a courtroom.
And he said, you know, at the end of it all, when we got done, and you know, the GM comes out and says, hey, Sean, none of this was personal. And he's like, it felt pretty personal to me when you're telling me I don't run the bases well, I don't do this, you know, that's the problem with representing yourself or having to be in a room in situations like that. Because
what's that lawyer,
negotiation,
right? What's that lawyer saying? Something about, you know, anyone that represents themselves as an idiot for a client, you
as
know,
a fool, like, for a client, yeah.
You know, like, come on, Lamar, detach yourself. So those two aspects make that stickier than the average one. You know, like it, when Allen came up or Mahomes or whatever. Whether you think they're as good of players or not, his style of play and no, agent. It's going to make this strange where it could go south.
Yeah, I agree. Now they could, his fifth year option is $23 million, which is a nice raise for him.
But still a bargain.
Hit him with the franchise tag 2 years in a row, which means
he's the kind of guy I might do that with.
But at what point does that become, basically what you're telling him then is that 3 years from now, you're not going to be our quarterback.
Right. You know, because then, you start doing that, then you're using a first-round pick on a quarterback a year from now, you know?
Yeah, then you're in a Kirk Cousins situation with Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He then becomes too expensive because, again, that franchise tag sets the bar.
See, but Washington was dumb about the Cousins stuff because they could have got him cheaper than $30 million a year to year. You know, they end up overpaying him, really not for any benefit of their own. Where in this case, I think franchising him is going to get expensive, but your opinion of the player, unlike Cousins, could change drastically year to year.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt.
He is, you know.
The franchise tag for the quarterback for this year is $29.7 million.
But next year,
that's going to go up over 30. Mm-hmm. Then he gets a 10% raise from at least a 10% raise from that, which makes it 35-ish. And then you probably can't sign him.
Then you let him go, trade him, let him go, whatever.
Is that if you're the Ravens, is that the path you want to go down?
I lean towards yes, but much like the Steelers.
What if you make a run? Let's say you go to the AFC Championship game this year.
Let's win the Super Bowl. What if he's MVP?
Right. Right. Now that, you know, now he's going to get $50 million.
Right. And, you know, what I was going to say is the Calais Campbells and Mark Andrews start looking at you like, why aren't you paying our quarterback, dude? You know, like, it's not great for the locker room either.
Well, that's the other part of the equation. Yeah. Cause he's your leader.
That's important. Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to pay him. You're not going to pay me.
I'm going to keep that guy happy. Some other guys who are going to be, who are pending free agents. Quentin Nelson.
Boy, he's going to make money.
Yeah. Can you justify paying a guard $20 million a year? A guard.
Maybe.
I understand he's the best, you know, he's the one. If he's not the best guard in the league, he's in the top three every year.
I mean, if I'm paying any interior offensive lineman 10% more than the highest guy now, or 20% more now, that's him. You know, like, I don't think the Steelers need a guard, but back to our last segment, if something happens, you know, if Nelson's a free agent from that right year from now, and the Steelers signed him to a 3-year, $60 million deal, I'd understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right now, Brandon Scherff is the highest paid guard at $16.5 million.
Who's not year. Close to Nelson.
Yeah. Nelson's going to get 20.
He's going to get 20.
Yeah.
Scherff has injury issues, and he's not the quality of player.
Yeah. Roquan Smith is going to be free agent.
As I mentioned, they have the most cap space in the league a year from now.
Right, because they let everybody go this year.
This is going to be the worst year ever for the Bears fans. But, I mean, that's, again, by design, getting out from all the bad contracts of the last regime. They're going to take it on the chin left and right this year, all for a year from now to spend and, you know, reap the rewards of, you know, having a tough year. I would think Roquan's right at the top of the list of guys we can't let go, you know, kind of like our Minka conversation.
Yeah. Here's another interesting one. As you kind of mentioned it in the last segment, Derwin James is going to be up. And if you're making, like, are Derwin James and Minka Fitzpatrick right now kind of playing a game of chicken?
Waiting for the time in this world.
Yeah, waiting. Okay, Derwin, I want to see you sign first. Or Minka, I want to see you sign first. And then I'm going to sign. That sets the market, you know, for the other guy.
Oh, yeah, you do all the work. And then his agent just cheaps off your paper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just leans over in the test and say, what do you have for, you know, the answer two?
To me, Minka should be slightly higher paid because James has been hurt a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say, if James plays 17 plus playoffs, awesome games, I'll give him any once.
Yeah.
And but, that's pretty much Minka, you know.
Yeah, but he hasn't done that yet in his career.
Right, right. So if I'm the Chargers, I want to sign him now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The later it goes, the more value I think he get, you know, goes up. And they have money.
Yeah, they do. But at some point, they're going to have to pay the quarterback. And you're already paying Joey Bosa.
You know Herbert's not going
to. They're kind of a step ahead of where the Steelers are.
The Steelers are hoping to be a Chargers for me.
Yeah, they've got the edge rusher signed.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sign the safety. And then, you know, another year from now, you're going to have to start looking at signing the quarterback to an extension.
It's funny you said that, because I'm not predicting Herbert's going to be, or Pickett's going to be as good as Herbert. But if he's on that career path of a Burrow or Herbert, again, that's the best thing in the world. Then you can trade for Khalil Mack and sign J.C. Jackson and extend Derwin. You know, pick whatever you want to draft because you don't have needs. Like, Chargers are a living example of how to do it right now.
Yeah, no doubt. The 2019 wide receivers, and this goes into the Deontay Johnson situation. Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin.
They're all kind of the same.
They're all in that same boat. You could add Deontay Johnson to that.
Mm-hmm.
All
the same draft class, all non-first-round picks, so they haven't made a ton of money. Super productive and really number one receivers that are ascending. You know, and A.J. Brown used to be in that conversation.
Yeah, and he got his new deal.
And so, he got his new deal, and I bet the others do too.
Yeah, I mean, the going rate is $20 million. It just is per year, if not more.
Wide receivers don't fall off cliffs. You know, it's like, what's the chances that Debo might be different, but what's the chances McLaurin or Deontay Johnson or A.J. Brown is a poor player 2 years from now? I'd be shocked.
Yeah, it's very, very, very low.
Yeah.
The franchise tag player, we did talk about Jesse Bates. Orlando Brown.
Oh, I forgot they franchised him.
Yeah.
I assume they're going to pay him.
But he's just not an ideal fit.
No.
Like, I think they franchise tagged him to justify the trade. I think they kind of put the franchise tag on him this year because they couldn't let him walk.
Right. See, I think they're going to view their team a little different. I think it was, let's give Andy Reid Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelsey, and what a tremendous stew he's going to make with those ingredients. And he did. And now I think they say, well, that's kind of run its course. I don't know how much longer we're going to have Kelce. Let's give Andy Patty Mahomes, one of the best offensive lines in the league, and see what kind of stew he can make with that, which I bet will be pretty tasty too.
Yeah. And I, you know, to me, Orlando Brown as a left tackle is extremely overrated.
Agreed. I agree with all that.
He made the Pro Bowl last year on name brand only because he played for the Chiefs. He should be a right tackle. As a left tackle, he is average at best.
Yes. And he's not even the mauler you would think he is in the run game. He's fine, but he's not Quentin Nelson, who we just...
Right. Oh, we got to run behind that guy. No.
Right. Fourth and one, we're going to get it every time. Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. The Cowboys franchise tag Dalton Schultz. And I know you're not a Dalton Schultz fan, but the guy did have 78 catches for 808 yards and eight touchdowns last season.
Yeah. And tight end franchising is good business.
It's cheap.
To be honest with you, right. I mean, Njoku got franchised, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to be awesome.
Dalton Schultz was a better player last year than David Njoku. More valuable player, I should say. Maybe not necessarily a better player.
I think you're right about that.
But they both got franchise tag because that franchise tag value, you're looking at 10.93 million, only running back at 9.57, and then kickers at $5.2 million are cheaper. But, you know, to me, that kind of cheats the whole franchise tag
a little bit
thing. Because when the franchise tag was, I think Max Starks talked about this with us at the combine. And obviously he had the franchise tag placed on him, during his career. Like when the franchise tag was developed, it was like for quarterbacks or a star player. When we now see guys,
they stole it from the NBA with the Larry Bird rule. You don't want Larry Bird to change teams. Well, we don't want Brett Favre to change teams either. Not even Njoku.
Or Dalton Schultz. Yeah.
Kickers.
We've seen kickers get franchise tag. That's ridiculous.
It's a bargain, right? It's a loophole.
It's a major loophole.
Mm-hmm.
I can see both of those teams, though, giving those two guys new deals.
Yeah. I think Njoku still has upside. I think he's a good example of the gets better with age, starting to reach his prime, slow developing tight end. And they like Schultz. You know, I think Dak likes Schultz. So they probably both get better deals, maybe like Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith deals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about the Browns who gave Austin Hooper $11 million a year. Well,
right.
The franchise tag for tight end is 10.93. You might as well. They cut Austin Hooper and they gave that money to Njoku instead.
Exactly. Do you think the next guy on the list here, Gesicki's the same? I'm not sure.
I don't think he is.
Because he's really just a big wide receiver.
He's a big wide receiver. In fact, if I were his agent, I'd be like, my guy doesn't block anybody. He's a big wide receiver.
He doesn't even put his shoulder next to a tackle. Like, I mean, he doesn't even line up on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I would go into that and say, hey, here are the amount of times that he lined up in line. Mm-hmm. It was 8% or whatever it actually is.
Very little.
He lined up outside the numbers 90% of the time. Like, he should be a wide receiver.
Yes. But then the team's going to say, that's nice, but he's not. Just like they told you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It's the way it goes. I mean, they're not going to say, oh, good point. We'll pay you like a wide receiver. He's going to be paid like a tight end. But Tyreek, Waddle, like Gesicki's not like those guys. I mean, I don't know if he's part of the long-term plan or is he just here on a franchise tag to make Tua's life easier and then we'll move on. I'm
probably
not sure. You know what I mean?
I mean, they keep bringing in wide receivers. I can't imagine it. You know, they need a big – And they've added some tight ends.
Yes.
Like guys who are just guys. Like you got and spend go get Tyreek Hill and you're not the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And Gesicki is not. He's not going to turn into Kelce anytime soon.
No, and if you think about who the new staff is, ideally they want George Kittle. You know, I mean, they're not gonna get that level of player. But they might just look at Hunter Long and be like, well, he blocks and he catches well enough. He's not a Gesicki type tight end.
But he's going to give us 50 catches a year, and that's all we need.
Yeah, and catch 5 touchdowns and block for this running game that we're going to run like crazy.
Yeah, to me, I mean, that tight end position is – we talked about that on Wednesday. I mean, we ran down that list of tight ends that are still available.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good guys still out there. Like, there are a lot of NFL players that you can find guys at that position.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a million years away, and the league changes very quickly. But, you know, when Freiermuth's contract comes up, assuming he's everything you want, you know, franchising him would cost nothing. You know what I mean?
Right, right. You can do that easily.
Right. It's very cost controlled.
But you also have Najee Harris situation.
Yeah.
Well, right, I guess it would be the following year. Because
you pick his option.
Yeah, because Freiermuth is a year ahead. So, but yeah, I mean, those are things that you have to think about when you do those kind of things. We're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. When we come back, we're going to do a little fantasy stuff here. We're going to try to sprinkle some of this stuff in here every once in a while. So we do a little fantasy football focus when we return right after this. You're listening to The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.